face, making her hair look even redder than it is. I was horrible at it. That's okay, you can't be good at everything. But that's just it, my parents thought I should be. She shakes her head and looks down at her hands. It was humiliating just how bad I was. I wanted to quit, but they wouldn't let me. We finish what we start, they said. So I had to spend the entire season on the bench, and the other girls were not friendly. It was the first time I'd ever experienced bullying or just plain meanness from other kids. I'm sorry. All I'm saying is, I don't want to have kids just to make them feel like they have to excel at every little thing. You're not your parents, I remind her gently. I don't believe that you'd parent that way. Not on purpose, she replies. But my parents would expect certain things from my children, and I'd feel obligated to make sure those expectations were met. Like putting them in the right schools, having them tested for IQ levels, which I don't give two shits about. Well, here's a newsflash for you. Any children you have are yours, Kat, not theirs. So while they're free to voice their opinions whenever they want, that's all it is, their opinion. You're not obligated to do what they say. I know, it's just tough. I like to please my parents. I think that's pretty normal. Is that the only reason you don't want kids? I don't really like kids, she replies, wrinkling her nose. I mean, they're not horrible, but they annoy the shit out of me after a while. I'm going to call bullshit on that. You were great with Kenny today. I only had to talk to him for like 6 minutes. She chews her lip, thinking it over. Although, he wasn't so bad. His mom annoyed me more than he did. Okay, no more kid talk. Oh, good. She grins and starts rooting around in the bag I brought down with the blankets and pillows. What are you looking for? Marshmallows? Please tell me you didn't bring me out here to sit by a gorgeous fire without marshmallows. I'm not cruel, I reply, and pull out a bag of them, holding them in the air. What will you give me for them? The best blowjob of your life? Done. I immediately pass them to her, making her giggle. And don't think I won't collect. Well, I would be disappointed if you didn't, she replies, batting her eyelashes at me. You have the longest eyelashes. They're fake, she says, and spears a marshmallow on a stick. Excuse me? Fake, she repeats. I get them done every couple of weeks. You're kidding. I don't kid about eyelashes, she says, and tosses me a sassy smile. Oh, shit, it's on fire. She pulls the stick out of the fire and blows out the flame, then tugs the gooey mess off the stick. This looks so good. She takes a bite, then holds the rest up for me, which I take, sucking on her fingers in the process. Her eyes widen, and suddenly she straddles me, kissing me with sticky lips, not that I care. But this kiss isn't hurried and crazy, it's lazy, erotic as fuck. She's grinding herself on me, making my breath catch, and her hands are cupping my face as she has her way with me. I want her. I never stop wanting her. But I refuse to have sex with her out here, where anyone from the condos behind us could watch. I'm not an exhibitionist, and I sure as fuck won't be showing Kat off to anyone. But that doesn't mean I can't have a little fun with her. I roll us on the blanket, tucking her under me and shielding her from prying eyes. Her hands are under my shirt, her nails dragging up and down my back, sending goosebumps up and down my body. I've never had sex on the beach before, she murmurs. You're not going to now, either, I reply, and chuckle when she sticks her lower lip out in a pout. I bite it. Don't worry, I'm going to make you come, but you won't be getting naked. You're no fun. I cock a brow. No? She smiles. Well, you're a little fun. I kiss her neck, licking from her collarbone to her ear, and feel her squirm beneath me. I know that her neck is her sweet spot. Oh, that's nice, she whispers, and buries her fingers in my hair, keeping me close. You give good neck. I grin and give the other side the same attention, then rest my lips on hers. I'm going to unbutton your blouse, but I will not expose your breasts. It'll be your job to keep them covered. I can't be put to work right now, she replies breathlessly. My boyfriend is making me hot. I have no blood flow to my brain. Open your eyes. She complies. It's dark down here, and I don't think anyone could see much anyway, but your body is just for me to enjoy. Just me.
I can live with that.
Excellent. So keep these amazing breasts covered so I don't have to kill anyone for gawking at them.
We could go inside.
I smile and kiss her nose. Where's the fun in that?
Good point.
I unfasten the buttons on her shirt and leave wet kisses down her chest to her belly.
Oh, God, she moans. Wait, do I have to be quiet?
No, the waves will drown you out.
Thank goodness, she says with a sigh.
You know, I might have been wrong. You might be a little fun. Let's see if we can do better than a little. I unzip her pants and slide them down her hips. I want to spread her wide and eat her until we're both writhing in the pure joy of it, but I can't do that here. So instead, I keep my head over her torso, sure to keep her pussy covered by my shoulders and chest, and reach down to pet her smooth pubis.
Fucking hell, you have good hands, she moans,
her head thrashing side to side. I bite her navel and grin when she cries out, gripping the blanket at her hips. Hold on to your shirt, I remind her, and insert two fingers deep into her. I'm going to make you come, and I don't want you to drop the shirt.
We could have left it buttoned.
Where's the fun in that? I ask, and begin to work her over mercilessly. Her pussy clenches around my fingers, wanting more, needing more, and I need to give it to her. I nudge the shirt aside with my nose and suck on her nipple, gently at first, then building in intensity until she's mewling softly, her body completely taking over now. She's mindless. She's completely at my mercy, and I fucking can't get enough of her. With my fingers completely buried in her, I press my thumb to her clit. Not too hard, because she's especially sensitive there during sex, but enough to make her back arch up off the blanket and her hips to circle.
Mac!
That's right, sweetheart. God, you're sweet. Her pussy tightens again around my fingers. You're so fucking tight. Do you have any idea how you turn me on?
Yes, she gasps. Oh my God, I can't...
Can't what? But she can't answer. All she can do is shake her head side to side. She's holding onto the shirt with all her might, her fingers white where she holds it together just beneath her breasts. I think you can, I say, and pull my fingers out to tease her folds, up to her clit and back down again. She's sopping wet, dripping over my hand and down her ass. I want inside her so badly my teeth ache with it.
This is insane, she whispers,
just as her whole body seizes and she cries out with her climax. I continue to pet her pussy, kiss her belly and her cleavage, as she rides it out beautifully. Her body is cast in firelight, a light sweat covering her face. She's absolutely breathtaking.
Hot damn, she mutters as her body calms. You're definitely a lot of fun.
You haven't seen anything yet, sweetheart.
Chapter 13. Cat. Hey, girl, I say as I answer my phone. Do you need me to pick something up? Addie covers the phone to talk to someone else and comes back. No, I think we're good. I was just wondering when you'd be here. We're all meeting at our friend Cece's house for Girls' Day. Cece has known Addie since back in the day when Addie was a model. Cece did her hair and makeup, and they've been friends ever since. Which works out well for the rest of us, too, because Cece loves it when we all invade her salon to get pampered. I'm on my way now, I reply. Be there shortly. Okay, good. Hurry. She hangs up and I shake my head. Addie's always been a little bossy, but she's gotten even more so since she's been pregnant. My phone rings again, and I answer without looking at the caller ID. So you do need me to pick something up? I can't think of anything, Max says with a chuckle. Sorry, I thought you were Addie. You're on your way to gossip with the girls? He asks. One of the things I love about Mac is he calls it like he sees it. Yep, I just left your mom a few minutes ago. Thanks for working with her, he says. I wish you'd let me pay you. It's all about ethics, I reply. Technically, I should tell her to go to someone who isn't banging her son, but I don't think she'd go talk to someone else. Do you talk about us banging often? I can hear the smile in his voice, and I wish I could see him. Har, har, I reply. How is she? She's good. I check my mirrors and switch lanes. What did she talk about? I can't tell you that, I reply, rolling my eyes. We have the same conversation after every session with his mom, but I can tell you that she's going to be just fine. He exhales loudly. I hope so. You don't give her enough credit. She's stronger than she looks, and with time, things will improve. I heard from Dad this morning. Really? I frown and pull into Cece's parking lot and kill the engine. That surprises me. He hasn't even tried to call your mom. I know. He just realized she wasn't home. She's been gone for 2 weeks. I stare blindly at Cece's window. Cammy is waving at me to come inside, so I hold a finger up to say, give me a minute. He's been gone most of that time, at the casino. Wow. Yeah, anyway, he asked me for more money, said some loan sharks are after him, but I told him no. Good for you, Mac. That couldn't have been easy. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be, he replies, surprise in his voice. My mother left him 2 weeks ago, and he's just now noticing. Maybe this is what's going to wake him up. Later he'll lose his kneecap soon. Let's not think like that, I reply, and hope it doesn't come to that. But I do agree that this might be the turning point for him. Okay, enough about my family drama. I want you to have a blast with the girls. Thanks, we will. Are we still on for dinner tonight? Absolutely, he replies. Have fun, babe. I'll see you later. I hang up and gather my black patent leather handbag with little red cherries all over it and walk inside. Seriously, you're going to see him later? Mia says and takes a bite out of a cupcake. Cammy's texting Landon as we speak, I reply, pointing to Cammy, who has her nose in her phone, her thumbs flying furiously over the screen. You're not giving her shit. She already did, Cammy says, not even looking up from her screen. Hey, girl, Cece says with a wide smile. Welcome to my humble new abode. I love it. I turn a circle, examining the space. Are you all settled in? Yes, and I never want to go home. She winks and points to the pedicure chair between Riley and Addie. Have a seat. The pedicure chairs give a fantastic massage while your feet soak. Cece has decorated this place impeccably. There's one wall of reclaimed barnwood with huge wood letters that say, You're really pretty. The floors are hardwood. The decor is classic rustic, and it's all fancy. I feel like I'm somewhere fancy, I say as I roll my pants up and dip my feet in the hot water. Sweet, merciful heaven, this is nice. It's cute, isn't it? Addie asks, her hands resting on her belly. So you just had to get out of your house? I ask Cece, and adjust the massage chair to focus on my lower back. I have 4,000 kids and a scientist husband who's hardly home. My poor clients had to endure all 4,000 kids interrupting us all day long. Your kids aren't that bad, Cammy says with a laugh, and pours me a glass of champagne. No, just the other day they were all supposed to be napping and I had a break from clients. Hubs was home, so we start to make out on the couch. Suddenly, just when things are getting good, my six-year-old comes into the room and sings, I'm sexy and I know it. We all bust up laughing, but Cece rolls her eyes. Hiring a nanny and renting this place was the best thing I've ever done. Well, I like it, I reply. It suits you. Thank you, Cece grins. So I hear you're in love. I frown. I never said I was in love. Addie smirks and I shoot her a glare. She's with him 24/7, Riley informs Cece. And if you say his name, she blushes. I don't blush. God, how mortifying. You do, Mia says, agreeing with Riley. It's pretty cute. What's his name again? Cece asks. Mac, Cammy says and giggles. See? Blushing. It's the hot water, I mutter and take a long sip of the bubbly. Well, they filled me in on the how and where, but I want to know more. How is he in the sheets? I choke. Champagne comes out my nose, and I cough so hard I swear I'm going to pee my pants. My alleged friends laugh mercilessly. You're all on my shit list. Oh, come on, you can be ruthless in your questions, too, Addie reminds me. Now the tables are turned, and we want to know. He's amazing, I reply reluctantly. Like the best sex of your life kind of sex. Hell, I'd be with him 24/7 if I were you, too, Cece says, rubbing Mia's feet. It's convenient that he lives in the same building. The walk of shame the next morning is a short one. I hadn't thought of it like that, I say with a laugh. I'm going to have to tell him that. I took his wine tour once, Cece says. He's hot, and he's smart when it comes to wine. I didn't know that, Addie says. Was it fun? Absolutely. We should all do it together sometime. That would be so fun, Cammy says. Oh, Landon says hi to everybody, by the way. Shut your damn phone off, Mia says with a scowl. We're supposed to be spending quality time with each other. How are we supposed to do that when you keep sexting with your husband? How did you know we're sexting? Cammy asks, her eyes wide and mortified. Please, you always sex each other up. It's disgusting, Mia replies. He's my brother. He's not my brother, Cammy says with a wink. Okay, I'm putting it away. Things are still good with you two? I ask her. Things are great, she replies. I think we're going to start trying to have a baby. We all smile widely. Cammy got pregnant right before their wedding, but lost the baby. It was a hard time for both of them. I'm so happy for you, Riley says, squeezing Cammy's hand tightly. Well, it could take a while, Cammy says. I have a lot of scar tissue from the last one, and only one fallopian tube, but it'll be fun trying. That's the best part, Addie says. This part? Not the best part, she rubs her belly. Not that I'm complaining, but damn, I'm a house. You're not a house. I'm a baby house. You're gonna be a mama, Riley says with a smile. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Baby shower next Sunday at Cammy's place, Mia says with a grin. I'm making some awesome food for it. Of course you are, Cece says. Wild horses couldn't keep me away. Are you registered? Don't buy us presents, Addie says adamantly. Honestly, just come to the shower. Right, I roll my eyes. It's a baby shower. We're supposed to buy insanely cute things and ooh and ah over every little thing and sit in silence as our ovaries burst. My ovaries burst every time I look at her, Riley says. And I'm not sure if I want kids, but damn, she's the cutest pregnant woman ever. I have cankles, Addie says, wrinkling her nose. No matter what I do, my ankles won't stop swelling. Not to mention my hair and nails grow so fast I have to go get them done twice as often as I used to. And you don't even want me to tell you about my butt problems. You have butt problems? Mia asks, her eyes wide with concern. What kind of butt problems? I'm constipated most of the time. And when I do go, it's like Satan himself is coming out of my ass because I have hemorrhoids. Ew, Cammy says, making the eye just sucked on a lemon face. Exactly, Addie agrees. I'm not sexy at all. Yet Jake wants to have sex with me anyway. You're sexy, I inform her. It's just a kind of sexy with hemorrhoids. I don't think that sexy exists, Addie insists. Does the sex hurt the baby? Mia asks. I mean, I would guess not because people have been having sex forever and I'm sure they've done it while pregnant, but I wonder about that. I don't think so, Cece says with a laugh. They've got a lot of padding in there. All of this is disgusting, I reply with a shudder. Jake says I have a sexy glow. Well, since he impregnated you. He should think that, Riley says. It's pretty cute to watch you when he puts his hands on your belly. He started reading to the baby, Addie says with a soft, lovesick smile. I said no to 50 Shades.
He wanted to read 50 Shades to the baby? I ask with a laugh.
He said it didn't matter what he read because the baby can't understand the words, and we might as well read something entertaining. But I said, no way. No R-rated books for the bambino.
So what does he read? Riley asks.
Guitar magazines, mostly. He did recently read a biography of Johnny Cash.
I wouldn't mind listening to that, I murmur.
So, speaking of reading aloud, Mac reads to me all the time.
Why? Mia asks.
Because I like it, I shrug. He even reads my romance novels to me. It's incredibly sexy. They've inspired some really fun sexy time.
Huh. Riley taps her finger on her lips, contemplating. I can see that. Do you read back to him?
I did once, I smile slowly.
when we were in the car on the way to the beach. It turned him on so much he fucked the shit out of me as soon as we got to the condo.
Wow, Addie says and puts her fist out for me to bump. Good for you.
I'm telling you, best sex ever.
That's when you know he's the one, Cece informs me. If it's the best sex of your life, you hang on to him.
I don't know if that's true, Mia says with a shake of the head. I've had the best sex of my life, and I'm definitely not marrying him.
Why not? Cece asks.
Because he dumped me and married someone else, Mia replies.
She does her best to make it sound like it's old news that no longer affects her, but we all know differently. Camden was the one who got away, or more accurately, the one who left with no explanation.
Well, I'm not talking about marriage either, I say, and sigh in pleasure, and Cece moves over to my feet and gets started on them. Who knows what will happen? For now, we're enjoying each other, and that's good enough for me.
Okay, Cece says with a wink. Your feet are torn up.
That's what happens when you wear heels every day to work and you're on your feet for 10+ hours.
My feet don't do that, and I wear heels just as much, Addie says. Well, I used to, before I got the cankles.
You have good feet genetics, I reply. I have to work to have mine look nice.
No, Cece adds. I have to work for your feet to look nice.
That's what I meant. I'm on my way home, I inform Mac about 3 hours later.
Do you need anything?
Just you, but thanks for asking, he replies. Did you have fun?
We always have fun.
Suddenly my car jerks and black rubber flies up from the passenger side. I swerve, narrowly missing another car. Holy fuck!
Cat? Cat, what's happening?
Oh my god!
A car clips my back fender, sending me onto the shoulder of the road. They don't stop, and I don't have time or the wits to get their plate before I come to a crashing stop at the side of the road.
Holy shit, Mac!
Baby, what is happening?
I think I blew a tire. Someone hit my back fender.
Did they stop? Where are you?
I'm breathing hard. My heart is beating a million beats a minute. They didn't stop.
I get out of the car and circle to the passenger side.
Front right tire is shredded.
Where are you? He asks again.
I find a sign and give him the nearest exit information.
Fucking hell, you're on the freeway?
I can hear his car start. I was about to get off the freeway.
Okay, I'm on my way. Get in your car and lock the doors and I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Okay. I nod, not even caring that he can't see me. My hands are shaking with adrenaline. Okay, I'm okay.
I'll be right there. Do you want me to stay on the phone with you?
No, you should just drive.
I climb back in the car and lock the doors. Hang in there, sweetheart. I'm coming.
He hangs up and I start to cry. I'm not hurt, but holy shit, I was so scared. It happened so fast. It could have been a lot worse. Not wanting to entertain those thoughts, I wipe the tears from my face. Just then, there's a knock on my window making me scream.
Sorry.
The man holds his hands up as if in surrender.
I just wanted to see if you need help.
My boyfriend is on his way, I say, rolling the window down only about an inch so he can hear me.
Did you blow the tire?
I think so.
I'm going to take a look.
He smiles reassuringly and walks around the front of the car.
He seems normal enough.
He's wearing a white shirt with slacks and a tie.
He's probably on his way home from work. He walks back to my window. It's blown, but the wheel's okay. If you have a spare, I'll switch it out real quick and you'll be good to go.
You really don't have to, I reply, but he just smiles.
I promise. It'll be okay.
I wonder if Ted Bundy said that to his victims right before he killed them. I pop the trunk and get out of my car as the stranger retrieves my spare.
I'm Preston,
he says with a smile. Cat, I reply. I stand at a safe distance while he works on the tire.
What do you do, Cat?
He seems to know what he's doing with the tire, working quickly and efficiently. I own a wine bar, I reply, not wanting to give him too much information. He's a stranger, after all.
Yeah, that's cool. I know a guy who owns a wine business. You might know him.
I might, I reply with a shrug. It's not a big community. He screws in the last lug nut and stands to put the tools back in my trunk, then pulls a handkerchief out of his pocket to wipe his hands off.
Do you know Mac?
What the hell? I make sure not to show any emotion as I pretend to think it over. Preston hasn't done anything wrong, but there's something about him that I don't trust.
I can't put my finger on it, but I learned long ago to trust my gut.
I think that name is familiar.
I thought you'd know him. This should get you home.
I glance back as I hear another car pull off the freeway, relieved to see Mac's car. There's Mac now, I say, but Preston is already getting in his car and pulling away.
Did you call someone else?
Mac asks as he joins me.
I told you I'd be right here.
I didn't call him, I reply, irritated at the tone of his voice. He pulled over and offered to help.
You didn't stay in your car.
No, because I'm a grown woman who's capable of deciding when I do or don't feel safe.
Come on, he says, gesturing for me to get in his car.
My car will drive me home just fine now.
You're a wreck, he says, pulling me in his arms now. You're shaking, and I think you're in shock.
I can drive myself.
He presses his nose close to mine and says sternly,
Get in the fucking car, please.
This is the bossy part I don't like, I inform him as I get in his car.
I don't care, he replies, his voice too calm. You're not in any shape to drive, and I'm still pissed at you for getting out of that car.
He said he knew you, I say.
He asked me what I do, and I said I own a bar, and he said he knew you, called you by name. Who was it?
He asks with a frown.
Preston somebody.
He thinks for a moment, then shakes his head.
I don't know, Preston.
Maybe he took your tour once.
He shrugs.
I don't know.
He exhales deeply and takes my hand in his.
You scared me.
I scared me,
I reply.
Why are we arguing?
Because we're both high on adrenaline and fear,
he replies and looks over at me with bright green eyes.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Are you?
Working on it.
Chapter 14, Mac. I can't believe I'm going to a baby shower. Since when are men invited to these things? I'm on my way to Cammy's place to meet Kat, who has been there since early this afternoon. Apparently, the guys are invited for dinner and cake. And games. I don't even want to know what kind of games they play at a baby shower. Just as I turn toward Cammy and Landon's house, my phone rings. I frown at my dad's name. Hello? Hi, son, he says. With just those two words, he sounds tired. Old. What's up, Dad? I was just calling to find out how your mom's doing. She's great. He pauses. Good. That's good. I'm not going to tell you where she is, I say, feeling like a dick. This is my dad. He should know where his wife is, but I just can't do it. He didn't even notice she was gone for 2 weeks. That's still a hard pill to swallow. No, don't tell me, he says quickly. The less I know, the better. He coughs, a deep, gurgly cough. Are you sick? No, I'm fine. I park outside Cammy's house and cut the engine. Dad, you don't sound good. I'll be just fine, but I need to ask you a favor. I roll my eyes and rub my hand over my mouth. Here we go. Okay? Keep her safe. Dad, what's going on? Nothing that I can't handle, but I've pissed off some mean people, Mac. Just keep an eye on your mom and make sure she's safe. She's safe. Thank you. Dad, should I call the police? There has to be something we can do. I'm going to take care of this myself. It's my mess. I'll clean it up. Chase gets his stubborn streak from you. He chuckles. Thanks, Mac. He ends the call and I step out of the car, joining another man on the porch. Hi, I'm Landon. Mac, I reply and shake his hand. I've heard a lot about you. Likewise. Landon smiles and stares at the door. I'm afraid to go inside my own house. I'd never heard of a couple's baby shower, I admit, and follow him to the porch swing. He sits in the swing and I lean on the railing. Me neither, he says, shaking his head. I'd rather fly into enemy territory than go in this house right now. That's right. Kat told me you were a pilot. He nods. And that was easier. They were freezing little tiny babies in ice cubes earlier. That doesn't seem normal. We laugh and Jake climbs the stairs to join us. Welcome. Are you both scared to go in there? He guesses correctly. There's a reason that men were never invited to these things, Landon says reasonably.
It's some kind of mysterious female ritual, and I'm not so sure men should be privy to it. It's cake and presents, Jake says. It's like a birthday party. Not true, Landon insists, shaking his head. I've never had any tiny babies and ice cubes at any of my birthday parties. Also, there was talk about amniotic fluid and something called a mucus plug right before I left. Again, not birthday party material. Well, when she loses the mucus plug, Jake begins, but I cut him off. No, I don't ever need to know how that sentence ends. What are you guys doing out here? Cammy asks, coming out onto the porch. Girding our loins, I reply, making the others laugh. Excuse me? We're mentally preparing for what's about to happen, Landon says, pulling his wife down next to him on the swing. Maybe we shouldn't come in. Are you scared? She snorts, but then takes a closer look at all of us. You're scared. We didn't say that, Jake says, holding up his hands. But maybe we should let you girls have your fun. Three strong, badass guys are afraid of a baby shower. She smirks and stands. Come on, boys, no one's going to bite. Bummer, Landon mutters, winking at Cammy. Okay, lead the way. We walk into the house, and all three of us stop in our tracks in the foyer. It looks like a baby blew up in here, Jake whispers. Pink and blue streamers are hung from every surface. There are at least a dozen boxes of diapers stacked against one wall, and pink and blue gift bags cover a table. There really are tiny babies in their drinks, I say in awe, and Landon nods, then swallows hard. I told you. That shit isn't normal. You're here, Addie stands and waddles over to Jake. I'm so glad you're here. I'm hungry. You're always hungry these days, Jake says and kisses her nose. Are you having fun? She nods happily, and my eyes search the room for Kat. I don't see her. Where's Kat? I ask. In the kitchen with Mia. I don't know why. Mia is verbally abusive when you're in the kitchen with her. My sister is so charming, Landon says with a laugh. Come on, I'll brave it with you. I follow Landon into the kitchen and stop again. There's Kat holding a baby on her hip, blowing raspberries in his neck and laughing with him. Mia is pulling something out of the oven, and Riley is sitting on the island, drinking straight from a wine bottle. There's a lot happening in this room, I announce, and smile when all eyes turn to me. Hi. Hi. Kat grins and joins me. This is baby Henry. He's Cece's youngest. Hi, I'm Cece, a petite woman says and waves from her perch by Riley. I couldn't find a sitter for him, so I brought him. He's the easiest of all my dozens of kids. Dozens? I ask in horror. She has four, Kat says, and kisses Henry's cheek. And I have a crush on this little guy. I lean in to whisper in her ear. You don't like kids, remember? Well, this one is different. Look at these cheeks. Henry smiles and claps his little hands together. Dinner is ready, Mia announces. Are you hungry? Kat asks with a grin. Her brown eyes are shining and her cheeks are a little pink from the heat of the kitchen, and the way she looks with this baby has something twisting inside me. I want to scoop her up and carry her home so I can make love to her all night. I want to tell her that she's mine and that she's going to be mine forever. For the first time in my life, I can see myself with a family. She cocks her head to the side. Mac? Starving, I reply, and tuck her hair behind her ear. I'm starving. I don't care what you say, I'm not going to put a diaper on a baby, blindfolded or not, Jake says as we join the others at the dining table. Addie is laughing and Cammy looks exasperated. You have to, Cammy says. It's part of the shower. All of the guys have to diaper a baby. I'm out, Landon announces. I'll be happy to change diapers if and when we're blessed with a baby, but I won't do it for sport. I think I'll sit that one out, too, I say, and take Kat's hand in mine, kissing her knuckles. This is why guys aren't invited to baby showers, Riley says to Cammy. They're no fun. Okay, but you have to play the guess what kind of candy bar this is game. That's easy, Jake says. They've been melted into diapers so they look like poop, Mia adds. It's disgusting. Do we have to play games? I thought you played games earlier, Jake says. I'm the dad. I should have a say. Fine, Cammy says with a sigh. You have a say. Great. No games. He fist pumps Landon and me, then smiles down at his wife. I like being the dad. Just like a man, Riley says with a smirk, to be all controlling and weird. She takes another swig from her wine bottle. Should we be worried about Riley? I ask Kat quietly. She smiles and kisses my cheek. You're sweet. She's okay. I'm okay, Riley says, obviously hearing me. But men can suck it. All men? Or is there one in particular that we're pissed at? Landon asks. And do I need to kick some ass? I don't want to talk about it, Riley replies, but Mia jumps in to help. She went on a date and the guy failed to mention that he's married. What? I ask. She's not lying, Riley says. I met this dude online and we decided to go out for a drink. He told me on the phone that he's recently divorced, which is a red flag all on its own, but I figured I'd go and flex my out-of-shape dating muscles. Good idea, Addie says, and pats Riley on the shoulder. And so we get there, and we just ordered our drinks, and he says, So, I have a confession. I'm not actually divorced yet. So, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, thinking that he's separated and going through the divorce, you know? We all nod. But no, he hasn't even told her he wants a divorce. They have kids. Kids. And then he says, I hope this isn't a deal breaker. What a prick, Cammy mutters, shaking her head. So, I said, yeah, that's a deal breaker, and I stood to leave. Good for you, I reply. Oh, that's not all. Not even close, Kat says. Do you want more wine, honey? No, I can't feel my feet anymore, Riley replies. So I stand to leave and he says, You haven't paid for your drink. What? Landon demands. True story, Riley replies. So I said, You go ahead and pay for it. I'm out of here. She's not done, Mia says when Landon would speak again. So then he says, My wife checks my accounts. I can't pay for this. He was going to make you pay for both of you? Cece demands. I must have missed that part. Tell me you didn't pay for him, I say. Nope. I went to the bar and paid for mine and left without another word. She's still not done, Kat says helpfully. So I get home, she continues, and he texts me. She picks up her phone and thumbs through it until she finds his message. And I quote, I shouldn't have told you about my wife. It clearly upset you. Can we try it again and we can pretend that never happened? Fucking hell, Landon murmurs. So I did some digging online. This is where it gets really good, Cammy says. This is where it gets good? Jake asks. Trust me, Cammy replies. He had given me his last name, so I found him on Facebook. It wasn't hard. She waves that off like it's nothing. I found his wife. Oh, God, Landon says, rubbing his eyes. I'm kind of in love with Riley right now, Mia says with a grin. So I sent the wife a message and told her everything. That poor woman, Kat mutters. Did she reply? I ask, thoroughly enthralled in this story. Yeah. Riley says, and takes another swig of wine, making me cringe. She said that she wasn't surprised and that I'm not the first to tell her a similar story. I assured her that I wanted nothing to do with her husband, and she thanked me. That was it. I hope she leaves him. I hope she cuts his dick off in his sleep first, Mia says, making all three of us men cringe. He deserves it. So, basically, I'm over it. I'm over men. Does that mean you've moved on to women? Jake asks, earning an elbow in his side from Addie. What? No, it means that I'm going to stay single. My job, my friends, my family, that's what matters. We love you, Cammy says. And men can suck it. Riley finishes her wine and sets it aside. I haven't eaten my food yet. You were too busy telling us your story, I reply. But you should eat and soak up some of that wine. I wonder if the wine likes chicken, Riley asks, taking a bite.
She's funny when she's hammered, Kat says with a smile. But I feel bad for her. It was a bad night last night. You know, not all men are assholes, Landon says. I think Cammy, Addie, and Kat got the only nice ones, Mia says. Riley and I are shit out of luck. I found a good one, Cece says helpfully. You guys will too. You just have to kiss a bunch of frogs before you find your prince. My prince is lost, Riley says. And too stubborn to ask for directions, Mia adds. This is delicious, Mom says the next night. After I told Kat about my conversation with Dad yesterday, she suggested we invite Mom and Chase over for dinner so we could see for ourselves how Mom is doing. Frankly, she looks better than I've seen her look in years. We're on the terrace enjoying steaks that I grilled, along with salads that Kat made and a nice bottle of Oregon Pinot Noir. This is a great bottle of wine, Chase adds, reading the label. We should organize a tour to the vineyard. They're private, Kat says with a smile. They aren't open to tours or tastings. Hmm, Chase replies. I wonder if they'd do something special. You could try, Mom says with a smile. The answer is always no if you don't ask. My parents used to say that too, Kat says. Do your parents live here in Portland? Mom asks. Yes, but they travel to Los Angeles quite often as well. There's a lab there that they work in a lot. Did you go to L.A. with them when you were a kid? Chase asks. I traveled all over with them, she replies with a bright smile. My parents were very strict academically, but they were fun, too. They wanted me to study the Northern Lights when I was 12, so we took a trip to Alaska so I could actually see them, not just read about them in a book. Wow, Chase replies. I thought you said you've never flown before, I ask. I hadn't. We drove. She shrugs as if it's no big deal. We drove everywhere. It was part of my education. It was an unusual way to grow up, but I learned a lot. I'm sure you did, Mom says. Chase and Mac were always good in school, too. Well, I was, Chase replies. Mac was a solid C student. He was too busy playing basketball. I had priorities. Haven't you ever heard that it's all about balance? Kat asks. I think you balance each other out nicely, Mom says, sending me a wink. What was Mac like as a kid? Kat asks, watching me with happy eyes. He was a pain in my ass, Chase replies. He was a sweet boy, Mom says, sending Chase the look that says, shut it. He was quiet as a little boy. I regret not talking and interacting with him more, but he was content to just play by himself. He found basketball, and that helped to bring him out of his shell. I shift in my seat, uncomfortable with this whole conversation. He was quite the athlete, Mom continues. He had scholarships, Chase adds. Impressive, Kat says. Not really, I reply. I was a good high school and college player, but I was never going to go pro. I'm too short. I was mediocre. Well, I was proud of you, Mom insists. Did you play sports, Kat? Chase asks, and her eyes fly to mine. No. Well, I begin, but she cuts me off. No, she repeats, and I sit back, sip my wine, and smile at her. I won't tell her secrets tonight. Before long, dinner is over, dishes cleared, and we're sitting around the fireplace, finishing our drinks. This is a beautiful space, Mom says with a smile. I would live out here. I love it too, Kat says. Mac reads to me out here. Wait. Chase holds his hand up and sets his glass down. Mac reads to you? Often, Kat says with a nod. It's romantic. It's something, Chase says, shaking his head. I know he's going to give me shit for this for years. Do you have a girlfriend? Kat asks Chase. He raises an eyebrow. Not at the moment. Well, let me tell you, if you read to a girl, you might have one. It's sexy and sweet and much better than just watching SportsCenter together. Don't knock SportsCenter, Chase says with a smile. I'm ready for both of my boys to settle down, Mom says. I would love to spoil some grandkids and see them both happy. Don't look at me, Chase says, holding his hands up in surrender. I'm happy not having kids. What about you, Mac? Mom asks. I sit back, watching the woman I've fallen in love with. I'd consider it. With the right woman. Her eyes widen, and she stands quickly, changing the subject. Who wants dessert? Me, Chase says, smiling at her. She walks into the house to get the strawberry shortcake she made earlier. I like her. She's so great, Mom says with a smile. I'm so happy that you found each other. Yeah, don't fuck it up, Chase says, earning another glare from Mom. We all know that you go running in the other direction when things get serious. Not this time, I reply, as Kat walks back out onto the terrace. Not this time. Wake up, Kat whispers right into my ear, pulling me from sleep. I want to show you something. We start many mornings like this these days, I reply, and rub my hands over my face. But it's usually me waking you up. I never went to sleep, she says with a shrug. It happens sometimes, but you have to see this sunrise. I frown and pull some shorts on. Why didn't you sleep? Because my brain wouldn't shut off. It happens a lot. Not since I've known you. She stops and bites her lip. True, I do sleep well with you. I don't know, I just had a lot on my mind last night. I pull her against me and wrap my arms around her, hugging her close. Are you okay? I whisper. I'm great, she replies, but doesn't pull away. Her arms are locked around my waist and her head is pressed to my chest, and it's like heaven. But I really want you to see this before it's gone. Okay, lead the way. She takes my hand and pulls me through the loft, out to the terrace and to the railing. The sky is lit up in orange, red, and purple. This was worth getting woken up for. I kiss her head and smile down at her. Were you out here all night? She nods. Reading. I figured. Do you want to go to bed? She smiles and shakes her head. No, I want to walk down the street for some coffee. She's in a happy mood, and for not getting any sleep, she's bright-eyed and energetic, and it's completely charming. Anything you want, I reply before kissing her softly. And then I want to come back here and make love. Perfect.
Chapter 15. Kat. This has been the day from hell, Mia says as she walks into my bar, sits on a stool next to Riley, and leans her elbows on the smooth wood. I hate today. Tell me about it, Riley says and sips her wine. If one more asshole tries to leave here without paying their check, I'm going to sucker punch them in the neck. That's not good for public relations, I reply with a snort. I can see the headline now. Restaurant owner and marketing manager charged with assault. Hey, we'd probably get more business, Mia says with a smile. Can I please have a glass of wine? Of course. As I turn to pour Mia a glass, my phone buzzes in my pocket. Mac, how was your day? I grin as I pass Mia her drink. That's Mac, Riley informs us all. How do you know? I ask. From the corny grin on your face. Long day. Ready for it to be over. A few seconds later, he replies with, Mind if I go down to your place for a bit? I shrug. Knock yourself out. Key under the mat. I send off the reply, and since we've just locked up, I pour some wine for myself and walk around the bar to sit with the girls. I love my job, you guys. You know I do. We all do, Mia says. But today was not good. Two dine and dashers, one waiter who showed up drunk, Riley says. What else? I had a sous chef walk out on me, Mia says with a frown. She said it wasn't fair that I threw the steak she overcooked on the floor. Gordon Ramsay has nothing on you in the mean department, I reply, shaking my head. You made her cry. She's an idiot, Mia mumbles. Is it wrong that I expect my staff to be competent? Our menu isn't cheap, and people come here to eat the food they order, the way they order it, and screwing it up is expensive. You're not wrong, Riley replies. But maybe you could be gentler. Fuck that. Or not, I say with a laugh. What happened in here tonight? Riley asks. Oh, you didn't know? No. I do something I've never done before and guzzle my wine, then turn to my friends. Grace didn't show up again. This is the third time, if I count the night she called out with the sick kid. Does she always use the kid as an excuse?
Riley asks. She didn't use any excuse tonight. She just didn't show.
Ugh, Mia says, rolling her eyes.
Fire her already.
She's a single mom, I reply.
I can't just fire her.
Mia's right, Kat. She calls out more than she's here. I love that you care enough to want to give her a shot at making it right, but it seems to me that she isn't trying very hard.
I let out a gusty sigh and nod. I know. I'll call her tomorrow and have Cammy put her last check in the mail, which means I have to hire someone. And I hate that process more than I hate Brussels sprouts.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Brussels sprouts, Mia says defensively, making us all chuckle.
What else happened? Isn't that enough?
To make you like this?
No, Riley replies.
Sam came in.
I walk back around the bar to refill my glass, top theirs off as well, and wait for them to yell. But they don't. They just stare at me.
What?
I finally demand.
What the hell?
Mia finally says.
Who cares if he came in? You haven't seen him in 2 years.
And he was a jackass.
I know. I don't give a shit about Sam.
And that's the God's truth. I've barely even thought of him since we broke up 2 years ago. I don't want him. I'm in a happy relationship. There's no reason for him to put me in a bad mood, but you add all the other shitty things up from today and put him on top of it. It just pissed me off.
Is this the first time he's been in since we opened?
Mia asks.
That I'm aware of,
I reply with a nod.
What did he say?
Riley asks.
Just, hi, Kat, nice place. And then he sat down at that table over there with some chick. They didn't have dinner, they just had a couple drinks and left. I should probably disinfect the table. Are you seriously hung up in that douche canoe?
Mia asks.
Fuck no, I reply. I was just surprised to see him walk in, and I was by myself, so I was running around like crazy. It was a busy night.
I'll never complain about busy nights, Riley says, clinking her glass to mine.
Just through me, that's all.
I get it, Mia says.
I think it must be a full moon, or Venus is in the house of the rising sun or some shit.
I agree, Riley says.
I'm out of here.
Me too, Mia says.
And I know this will shock the shit out of you, but I think I'll take tomorrow off.
I'm sorry, what?
I reply surprised. I need a day, Mia says with a shrug. I only take one a month.
And you should take more than that, I reply.
We snap the lights out on our way to the front door.
Let me give you a ride home, Mia says.
Thanks. I smile and climb into her car. I don't usually mind the walk, but damn, I'm tired.
But not sleepy, she guesses correctly.
Not sleepy.
We're quiet on the short drive to my building. When she parks, she turns to me and surprises me again by pulling me in for a hug. Mia's not the touchy-feely type.
Are you okay, Mia?
Yeah, I'm just out of sorts.
She pulls back and smiles.
And sometimes even black-hearted bitches like me need a hug.
You're not black-hearted or a bitch, I reply immediately. You're amazing. Some people just don't get you.
Well, thanks for getting me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the ride.
I wave as I walk into the building and feel my shoulders sag in the elevator. It's been a long, damn day. I trudge down my hall to the door, walk inside, and stop in my tracks.
Hi there, Red.
Hi. Mac is waiting for me with a glass of wine in his hand and a smile on his handsome face. He crosses to me and presses his lips to mine in a sweet kiss, then takes my hand.
Follow me.
He leads me into the bathroom.
Oh my God!
All you have to do is get undressed and into the bath. But I can't move. The room is lit only with candles. About a dozen of them, scattered about. The tub is full of steaming water, and I can smell my favorite orange oil coming from it. On a stool next to the tub is my Kindle. He sets my wine glass on the stool and turns to me, pulling me in for a